Well, this is Roy Beard with Covenant Life Ministries. I'm glad to have you with us tonight. I hope that during our time together, that the Holy Spirit will inspire our hearts to seek the face of God in a more powerful way. It's my desire to encourage you to allow the atmosphere of heaven and the culture of the kingdom become a reality in your life. Well, I'm glad you're with us again on this Sunday evening, February the 10th, year of our Lord, 2019. Isn't that amazing? I want to talk about something tonight that's incredibly heavy on my heart and important to me, and I believe it's vital if we're going to become all that God would have us to be in this present world. I want to talk about waiting on God, and that waiting is sometimes very, very hard. In Psalm 62, verse 1, the psalmist said, "My soul waits in silence for God only. For him is my salvation. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is in him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God, my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour your heart out before him, for he is a refuge for us." Selah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31 said, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Join me in prayer. Father, I ask you to help us to understand the benefit, the value, the importance, and the power there is in learning to wait on you. Wake us up. Anoint me tonight. Let me speak truth. Let me speak with the authority of the Holy Spirit. Let me speak something that brings life to hearts and challenges us to move into your presence. Amen. In Jesus' name. Now, I am fully convinced that we Americans, and some of you that are not Americans, listen, but Americans are among the world's worst waiters. Now, I don't mean servers in restaurants, but those who have to wait on something, wait on anything. We don't wait well. We want everything yesterday. And, I mean, we want it immediately. We want it yesterday or sooner. And waiting is the most difficult requirement that many people ever experience in life. It seems that we fit the prayer ascribed to Americans, "Lord, give me patience, and I want it right now." It's very difficult for a country that exists on frozen dinners, instant potatoes, powdered orange juice, packed cake mixes, lightning-fast computers and freeway, express lane, to teach our young people how to wait. See, time waits for no man. And most of us believe we are time and shouldn't have to wait. If the truth were known, truly known, many would rather do the wrong thing than wait. We hate waiting. I don't know about you. I don't like waiting. I don't like lines. I don't like delays. I want everything now. I found that waiting is the rule rather than the exception in life. I spend a lot of my time waiting. The exception is the open door. And when you have an open door, you go. But waiting when the door's closed doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. No, no, no. Some people seem to think that, but it doesn't mean that. It just means that you are in the center of His will while waiting. See, we face a lot more red lights, stop lights, and yellow lights, caution lights, than we do green lights or go lights in life. We're frequently faced with wait, and then we wait, and we wait, and we wait some more. And it's important and it's vital that we discover the truth and the revelation that waiting on God is resting rather than worrying. You can have many things in life and be many things in life and many times in life. We try to fake waiting, but you can't fake that. We appear on the surface as being patient, but we're torn up on the inside. We put on our plastic front, our veneer, a mask that suggests there's peace, but inside there's no peace. Let me share a very old illustration that most of you probably have heard that helps to explain what I'm talking about. It's a story about some American GIs, some American soldiers during the Korean War. They had rented a house and they hired a local Korean boy or man to do their housekeeping and their cooking. And that seems to have been a common occurrence for many during the Korean War. And the Korean man they hired had an unbelievably positive attitude. He was always smiling. And the soldiers began to play tricks on him. They nailed his shoes to the floor, and the next morning he got up, pulled the nails out of his shoes, and maintained that excellent attitude. They put grease on the stove handles, and he simply wiped it off and kept smiling and singing and whistling. They placed buckets of water over the door to soak him when he walked through the door, and he simply dried off and kept smiling, never complaining. Finally, after that went on for quite some time, they began to feel guilty, and they called him in, and they said, "Listen, we want you to know that we're not going to play tricks on you anymore. We're sorry. Your attitude's been amazing and outstanding." And he just smiled at them and asked, he said, "You mean no more shoes? Nail in shoes?" They said, "Nope, no more." "You mean no more sticky on stove handles?" They said, "No, no more." He said, "You mean no more water over door?" And they said, "No, no more." And he smiled. He said, "Okay, then no more spit in soup." Now, I know that's a bit gross, but it reflects what I'm saying, that what you see on the outside may not be what's happening on the inside. Genuine patience, real patience, is something that's acquired through learning to fully and completely trust. Genuine patience always enables us to enjoy true peace. And the question for us is, do we trust? Can we wait? And hang on, there's more. We're talking about patience and how difficult it is to wait. So I found the encouragement of Psalm 62. It's incredibly encouraging. We find a simple outline to guide our thinking with regard to victorious waiting. The truth is, we don't need lengthy teaching on the art of waiting. No, no, no. That's not what we need. We need long practice times of waiting. Now, most of us know about waiting, but what we need to do is wait. I want you to consider some helps, if you will. In Psalm 62 and 1, it said, "My soul waits in silence for God only." The literal Hebrew reads almost backwards from the English translation. It reads, "Only for God in silence does my soul wait." The word translated silence comes from the Hebrew verb meaning to whisper softly. It's the idea of whispering a secret to somebody that you love, but not loud enough for anybody else to hear it. In this case, it's only for God to hear. The word only appears 6 times in that psalm, and I believe it tells us that for David, there's no one else but the Lord. So I want you to consider this. Wait for God to direct your steps. It's important that we learn to wait. My soul waits in silence for God only. Don't run ahead. Wait. A red light means wait. It means you have to stop and you wait and you're careful, you're patient, you don't move out into the intersection. You can't run and wait at the same time. The ability and the strength to run spiritually comes after and comes through waiting. So I suggest that you might want to call to remembrance the old story and the story in the Old Testament where Joab called Cushai and told him to run to King David with the news about Absalom. Well, Ahimaaz begged to run, and he had no message. God instructed Moses, standing at the Red Sea with the armies of Egypt hot on their trails, to stand still and see the salvation of God. So it's repeated in the Bible time after time. Verse 1 of the psalm is David's declaration, and verse 5 is his command. In verse 1, he said, my soul, in verse 5, he said, my soul, wait in silence for God only. It's important that we pay attention to the fact that David is talking to himself. He's directing his will, his mind, his emotion. He was instructing his inner man. You wait on God. You wait for him to direct your path. Now, that's not easy when we're anxious to run. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. And it's important that you and I learn to know and to hear and obey the voice of God. So we wait for God to direct our steps. And secondly, we trust God to provide for our needs. From him, the psalmist said, is my salvation. This is a continuation of verse 1. In verse 2, we read, he only is my rock. So the directive is simple. We're to wait on him. We're to trust him to provide our needs. And so the only question is, how or do we do that? How are we to do it? Or do we do it? I believe that if you've been around church for any length of time, you've been instructed to wait on or wait for God. Now, I can teach, but I can't learn you anything, as I was told in school. God has to help you learn, and that frequently requires waiting. Some things are learned through experience. God's record, the Bible, is that the record of God and God's history is he does not, will not, cannot fail. He's El Shaddai. He's the God of plenty. He's the God who never fails. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. We can and we have to trust him, and he will in due season come through. Now, we can't afford to become impatient. We can't afford to faint in the process. We can't afford to throw in the towel. When we wait on God to direct our steps, God does just that. When we trust God to meet our needs, he does that. So, we have to learn to wait for God to direct our steps, trust God to provide for our needs, and then thirdly, we wait silently in stillness. My soul waits in silence, verse 1. My soul wait in silence, the command, verse 5. The songwriter said, speak, Lord, in the stillness, while I wait on thee. Hush my heart to listen in expectancy. Now I found, I don't know about you, but I found that some of my best prayer times are virtually wordless times. Those are the times when I stop speaking and I close my eyes and I meditate upon what I'm reading or praying or thinking or examining in my heart. And I listen deep, deep, deep inside. I listen to that innermost being. I listen for reproof. I listen for guidance. I listen for instruction. I listen for Him. It's here that the Holy Spirit takes over and He begins to direct our hearts. It's here that the Holy Spirit gives direction. It's here that He opens up our minds to understand and see. It would be good for us to take time out and read and devour and meditate upon Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 and 7. It's a letter that the Lord Jesus dictated to the church at Ephesus, and He gave it to John the Revelator, the Apostle John. On the surface, everything appeared to be wonderful for that church, but something was missing. Something went wrong. They had left their first love. They were orthodox. They were predictable. They were solid to the core. They were staunch, standing staunchly for truth, but they had lost the fire of their first love. Now that was so significant that Jesus informed them that unless they returned, He would remove their lampstand from its place and take their light away. They would be nothing more than an empty shell with a sign out front, but no life on the inside. But there's more. We're to wait for God, wait for Him to direct our steps. We're to trust God to provide for our need. We're to wait silently for God to speak to us in the quietness, the stillness of our soul. Those steps are powerful, and they're needed, and they're vital, and they're required. But there's more. So I ask you to continue the pursuit for guidance to learn to wait on God. Not only do we wait, as I mentioned before, that we wait for God to direct our steps. We wait, we trust God to provide for our need. We wait for God in silence, but we wait in stability and confidence. He is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 2. There's stability in trusting God. We can wait on Him in quiet confidence, and the knowledge that He never fails gives us perfect peace. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." In this particular instance, wait means to twist or stretch something in order for it to become strong. In the noun form, it means a line, a rope. The idea of stretching or twisting strands of hemp so that in the process it gains far, far greater strength than each individual strand. This is where we trade our weakness for His strength. I take my strand like a spider web and wrap it around the steel cable of His strength. This is done in the waiting process, and there my strand is as strong as His character. I change my weakness for His strength. His strength gives way, never gives way in the heat of battle. It holds firm. In waiting on God, there are three specific things that transpire. We mount up with wings as eagles. We run and don't get tired, and we walk and don't become weary. The Hebrew meaning is they will sprout wings like eagles. There's a place in God where we can literally, spiritually, figurative, emotionally, in every way, soar above the problems and the cares of life. We enter into a dimension that has the atmosphere of heaven. We breathe that rarefied air of the presence of God, and we walk through the normal routines of life and do not grow weary and do not faint. Why? Because we're waiting. We're not going in our own strength. We're not going in our own understanding. We're not going in our own power, but we're going in His, and God never gets tired. The benefit of this is powerful, and it's really simple. We're to wait because only God is our deliverer. He's our salvation, verse 1. He's our security. He's our stronghold. Only God is our security. We have security in nothing else. We have security in no other means. He only is our hope. He's our only hope. He's our only security. He's our only deliverer. And verse 5, our hope is from Him. He's our glory. O God, my salvation, my glory rest. Verse 7. He's our only refuge. My refuge is in God only. That's the theme of it. It's only God. He and He alone is our source. He and He alone is our strength. He and He alone is our hope. He and He alone is our deliverer. He and He alone is our refuge. He and He alone is our hope. He's our provision. So, why do we wait? We wait because without Him, we don't have deliverance. We don't have security. We don't have hope. We don't have glory. We don't have refuge. Without Him, we're hopeless. Without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we fail. Waiting involves trusting. Waiting includes prayer. Waiting implies resting and relaxing and just casting all of our care on Him because He cares for us. I can guarantee you 100% assurity that God will keep His word if you're willing to wait. Perseverance is a key. We grow and learn, not when things come to us instantly, but when we're forced to wait, when we have to go through the trial. It's in times of waiting that God tempers and seasons us, mellowing and maturing us. He readies us for His service and His call and His purpose. The Phillips translation of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 is this. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resist them, resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize they come to test your faith and produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until the endurance is fully developed, and you'll find that you become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. We need to change America's prayer to the Christian prayer. Lord, make me mature, and I'm willing to wait on You. If you want to have patience, you have to learn to trust. You will never develop patience without learning to trust. You have to practice self-control, and you have to have enough confidence in Jehovah God that you will await His direction regardless of how long that takes or what you have to endure to get there. Patience isn't a gift. He doesn't drop it in our heart. It's a virtue that's developed through the application of the principles of the truth of God's Word. We have to love Him completely. We have to trust Him implicitly. And we have to learn to wait on God. Hallelujah. See, learning to wait for God's clear direction is absolutely vital in our Christian walk, and it's powerful. You can't wait on God and fret at the same time. No. If you're fretting, if you're worrying, if you're wringing your hands and you're chomping at the bits to do something, you're not waiting. No. You're being restrained, but you're not waiting. You may be restraining yourself, but you're not waiting. You're not waiting and growing and strengthening and mounting up with wings as eagles. You can't wait and run at the same time. If you're running, then you're heading somewhere. If you're waiting, you're waiting on instructions, you're waiting on details, you're waiting on orders, you're waiting on the command. Let me ask you this. Do you want to be more like Jesus? We pray that. More like You, Lord. Make me more like You. I pray, Lord, make me like Jesus. And I have the feeling that He's not going to make me like Jesus. He's going to help me learn to be like Jesus. See, Jesus learned to wait. He would spend entire nights in prayer waiting on the Father. No, the Father wasn't late, but Jesus waited, and in that waiting, He had fellowship with the Father. He received angelic ministry, infusing Him with renewed strength, and He received what He needed to complete His assignment in waiting. And if you want to live in the presence of God, if you want to have the atmosphere of heaven, if you want to see the miracles and the signs and wonders, if you want to see the word confirmed with signs and wonders, if you want to see the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk, if you want to see the miracles of God transpire and the powers of darkness brought to nothingness and the devil put to flight, if you want to see the power of God, the manifestation of God, then it's absolutely vital that you learn the biblical art of waiting. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear him saying. Well, you can't be busy as a bee or a beaver and hear that. You remember what Jesus told his disciples as he was preparing to ascend into heaven? He said, tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until what? Until you receive power from the Holy Spirit. If we want the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to spend time with him. And in that praying and in that fellowship and in that learning and in that process, we are waiting for our release. Well, let me ask you this. Are you ready to have spiritual power? Are you ready to be launched into the harvest and sent out as laborers? Are you ready to demonstrate to the world the person, the presence, the power of Almighty God? Well, the key is waiting, and in that waiting is learning to be shut in with God. Do you remember the old chorus, the old song, shut in with God in a secret place? There, by the Spirit, beholding his face, gaining more power to run in the race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place. There, by the Spirit, beholding his face, finding more power to run in the race. Oh, how I long to be shut in with God. Shut in with God while kneeling in prayer. Finding his beauty and glory there, I bow in wonder at his awesome grace, and he shuts me in his holy place. As I'm shut in with God, my strength is renewed. I soar like an eagle. I'm born anew. Oh, the wonder, oh, the grace, as I'm shut in with God in his holy place. Of all the pleasant places, though rugged may be, there's no other place that is dearer to me than low at the feet of my Savior I be. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place. Shut in with God, beholding his face, gaining new power to run in the race. Oh, I love and I long to be shut in with God. The disciples were praying for the power to fall 10 days. Then they did tarry on God. They did call. And then God sent his Spirit to baptize them all, for they had been shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place, there by the Spirit, beholding his face, gaining new power to run in this race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Of all the pleasant places on land or on sea, there is no place on earth that is sweeter to me than to kneel at the feet of my Master and Lord, for there I'll be shut in with God. The pathway to heaven, though rugged it may be, I'll travel till my precious Savior I see. Then the gates of that city will open for me, and there I'll be shut in with God. Shut in with God in a secret place. There by the Spirit, beholding his face, gaining new power to run in the race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. If that's the cry of your heart, if that's the cry of your heart, Father, help us. Help us to not only long to be shut in with God, but to move into your presence and allow your Holy Spirit to lift us out of the doldrums of life and infuse in us the strength and the power of Almighty God. Amen. 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 Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me, at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you. Be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you.